Hello, hello out there in social media world, radio world, and the online world. We're here. This is a You Me Radio, and we're talking about Christians and sex. We've had a few episodes before in the past, and now we're continuing on with our some new wonderful segments. For those of you who are out there and the different social media platforms, and those doing Podbeans, for those who were here last week, we thank you. Hope you're back with us again this week so we can do some more conversation. All right. So again, this is Christians and Sex, and we're looking to have a wonderful segment tonight. And we're gonna have awesome, awesome. It's going to be a great night tonight.
To your left there, to the left. Answer the call where the picture is. What is Keith doing? You did this last week. Over to the other side, sir. See the picture beaming, Misty?
No.
Oh, my God. The air is dead.
Hey, I think tonight we have our partner here. We have Lady Misty on board. Sorry for the delay, y'all. But you know, sometimes.
Hi, good night.
Hey, hi, Misty. This is my co-host. My co-host, Lady Misty. And of course, this is, I think, our second or third segment together. And it's just a great, wonderful our time we have in here. So how are we doing today, Misty?
Yes, it is. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What's the weather like where you are? I can barely hear you. Well, you got to speak a lot so we can hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
No, let's mess with you, Lady Misty. You go ahead.
Anything. It is raining right now. So it's a little chilly, but it's warm on the inside. So.
There you go. Once it's warm on the inside, that's how we do it. We make it nice and hot on the inside.
That's right.
So tonight we got a very interesting program, y'all. And we're going to have our assistant, wonderful assistant, kind of give us a prelude as to what we're going to be discussing tonight. So go right ahead and make it happen for us.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. So
no, that is me you're talking about, you know. But see, I'm calling in to take the call.
Yeah. Here we go.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes, so we can hear you.
I'm going to be reading from the website ideas.ted.com. 10 facts about infidelity, and this article was written in 2014 on January 23rd. Love isn't okay. So much an emotion, says biological anthropologist Helen Fisher, as it is a brain system, one of three that's related to mating and reproduction. It's those other two systems that explain why human beings are capable of infidelity, even as we so highly value love. Here, Fisher explains more about cheating, why it occurs, how common it is, and how a study shows it could potentially correlate to a gene. Number one, pair bonding. One more process. Okay, number one, pair bonding is a hallmark of humanity. Data from the demographic yearbooks of the United Nations on 97 societies between 1947 and 1992 indicate that approximately 93.1% of women and 91.8% of men marry by age 49. More recent data indicates that some 85% of Americans will eventually marry. Number two, however, monogamy is only part of the human reproductive strategy. Infidelity is also widespread. Current studies of American couples indicate that 20 to 40% of heterosexual married men and 20 to 25% of heterosexual married women will also have an extramarital affair during their lifetime. Number three, brain architecture may contribute to infidelity. Human beings have three primary brain systems related to love. One, the sex drive evolved to motivate individuals to seek copulation with a range of partners. Number two, romantic love evolved to motivate individuals to focus their mating energy on specific partners, thereby conserving courtship time and metabolic energy. Number three, partner attachment evolved to motivate mating individuals to remain together at least long enough to rear a single child through infancy together. These three basic neural systems interact with one another and other brain systems in mirrored flexibility, combinatorial patterns to provide the range of motivations, emotions, and behaviors necessary to orchestrate our complex human reproductive strategy. But this brain architecture makes it biologically possible to express deep feelings of attachment for one another, while one feels intense romantic love for another individual, while one feels the sex drive for even more extra dyadic partners. Number four, infidelity has been a reality across cultures. It was also common among the classic Greeks and Romans, pre-industrial Europeans, historical Japanese, Chinese, and Hindus, and among the traditional Inuit of the Arctic, Kyukuru of the jungles of Brazil, Kofiar of Nigeria, Turu of Tanzania, and many other tribal societies. Number five, there are different types of infidelity. Researchers have broadened the definition of infidelity to include sexual infidelity, that is sexual exchange with no romantic involvement, romantic infidelity, that's romantic exchanges with no sexual involvement, and sexual and romantic involvement. Number six, myriad psychological, cultural, and economic variables play a role in the frequency and expression of infidelity. But one thing is clear, infidelity is a worldwide phenomenon that occurs with remarkable regularity despite near universal disapproval of this behavior. Number seven, mate poaching is a pronounced trend. In a recent survey of single American men and women, 60% of men and 53% of women admitted to mate poaching, trying to woo an individual away from a committed relationship to begin a relationship with them instead. Mate poaching is also common in 30 other cultures. Number eight, infidelity doesn't necessarily signal an unhappy relationship. Regardless of the correlation between relationship dissatisfaction and adultery, among individuals engaging in infidelity is one study. 56% of men and 34% of women rated their marriage as happy or very happy, suggesting that genetics may also play a role in philandering. Number nine, studies show the possibility of a gene that correlates to infidelity. In 2008, Wallum and colleagues investigated whether the various genes affected pair bonding. Whether pair bonding behavior in humans. 552 couples were examined. All had been married or cohabiting for at least 5 years. Men carrying the 334 vasopressin allele in a specific region of the vasopressin system scored significantly lower on the partner bonding scale, indicating less feelings of attachment to their spouse. Moreover, their scores were dose-dependent. Those carrying two of these genes showed the lowest scores, followed by those carrying only one allele. Men carrying the 334 gene also experienced more marital crisis, including threat of divorce during the past year, and men with two copies of this gene was approximately twice as likely to have had a marital crisis than those who have inherited either one or no copies of this allele. Last, the partners of men with one or two copies of this gene scored significantly lower on questionnaires measuring marital satisfaction. This study did not measure infidelity directly, but it did measure several factors likely to contribute to infidelity. And finally, number 10. Several scientists have offered theories for the evolution of human adultery. I have proposed that during prehistory, philandering males disproportionately reproduced, selecting for the biological underpinnings of the roving eye in contemporary men. Unfaithful females reaped economic resources from their extra-dyadic partnerships, as well as additional males to help with partnering duties in their primary if their primary partner died or deserted them. Moreover, if an ancestral woman bore a child with this extramarital partner, she also increased genetic variety in her descendants. Infidelity had unconscious biological payoffs for both males and females throughout prehistory, thus perpetuating the biological underpinnings and taste for infidelity in both sexes today. And of course, that was written by Helen Fisher.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. This topic here is one that I think garnered a lot of interest, and already I can see some individuals reaching out and want to comment and maybe call in. But I want to just kind of advise you that we're going to start taking calls at around 8:25, 8:30, around that time. All right. So I know it's a hot button topic here, and you might be itching to call. And
yes.
But right, what do you say, lady Missy? You think we are right here about that one here?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Infidelity and cheating is a pretty hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
I know from both sides, both from those who have been cheated on, and the cheater have their different views. So.
Yes.
Let's go.
And you know, and what was read, folks, is just a conversation starter. It's really a conversation we have, and many people are afraid to have conversations. We want to paint broad brushes and say, and shut it down, you know, especially a lot of our church folks out there. You know, Holy Ghost, you know, Lord. I get it, folks. You know, conversation is important, and I think that's what's missing here. There is a balance that we try to reach from the spiritual to the temporal to the physical to the emotional and so forth. It all combined together, and we look for balance in what we do. And here on
right.
Christian Sex, it's about being about an awareness and have people talk and create a conversation. And out of that can become a sense of betterment and how can I be the best me. And maybe find out why we do what we do more and become better people, you know?
That's
yes.
Right.
So I'm not sure if any thoughts rang out to you while you were checking this out, Lady Missy. But something came to mind. So share something. I guess I would like to hear your thoughts as well as mine.
Well, just by, you know, doing some reading and with conversations, as I said before, cheating is a hot topic. And by the way, before I continue, good night to those who have joined and those who are commenting already. Your comments are valued, so keep them coming while we speak. All right. From a Christian point of view, we know that cheating is wrong, right? Let's just get that out of the way, right? That's based on, because this show is Christians and sex, so let's talk spiritual first, all right? So there's a lot of argument behind Christendom and infidelity, adultery, and all of that, because in Christendom, the repercussions of infidelity is much deeper than just having someone on the outside. On a spiritual note, we have what is called soul tie. So, in essence, once you have sex outside of the bond of marriage, you tie your spirit, you tie your soul to another person, which should not be. And so that creates a bond that should not be, because in the whole institution of marriage should be God and the two flesh becoming one. So once you step outside of that bond, it creates a kind of a friction that will put a strain on the marriage. So that's okay. From a spiritual point of view. So a lot of Christians will come out and say, yes, it's wrong because, you know, you're tying yourself to another spiritual being, and you're bringing someone else into the relationship.
So as you say, Christian, and Christendom as in Christian. Now, it's a very broad word, I think, when you say Christian. So you have Orthodox Christian, you have Catholic kind of Christian, you have the Pentecostal, you have the different...
Those who believe in the principles of the Bible, and what God says when it comes on to marriage and how relationships should be.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, right. the Bible is a framework for what a marriage, yes, should look like, and right, what are the parameters that should take place within a marriage relationship.
That's right.
Okay. All right. The thing about it, as I heard the article being read, is that numbers they seem to be higher for men. It seems like they're always outnumbering the ladies.
I guess
the men are winners. Huh? We winners. We always get the high numbers. But
yes, because it is said that men really don't have sex for like emotions. It's usually for satisfaction, gratification. So I think it's my opinion. I'm not a man, so you know, and different men have different ways of going about things. But I'm thinking that because it's not so much emotional for them, it's easier for them to do it over and over with multiple persons. Whereas a woman, usually, and I'm not saying that this happens all the time, but usually a woman that decides to cheat, it's usually there's an underlying emotional factor. You know, so she's looking to feel needed, and you know, that kind of a thing, not necessarily just for the hell of it, you know.
Got you. So you know, it's interesting because you know, as I looked at the article myself, and I was scanning through it, I realized that you know, you have people, you know, there's something about being authentic, right? And I think many people who are Christians and people who grew up in church, like myself, we hide behind a lot of facade, you know, or true feelings.
That's true.
And it's almost like, you know, how much can I hide my life and look good, you know, and play the part? And it's sad that sometimes, because of the pressure of what you ought to be or supposed to be, then we sometimes live this lie, you know. But I think that as time goes on and as the world progresses in that sense of the word, people become more open, I believe, are more transparent, and they
talk true. More.
And I think as they talk more, we hear more of what maybe probably needs to be heard, so we can make the corrections. So rather than hiding and not being forthright and being authentic, as I would say earlier, I think we only hurt ourselves. You know, it's too many marriages where someone cheats and no one knows about it. So how many people you have known who have cheated and probably brought them a disease to a spouse, and no one knew, no one talked about it, and all of a sudden the other one is now afflicted with something that was done. So the idea is that people need to be more open and honest, and sometimes avoid from even getting to the point of having an infidelity, you know. So the article again, it tells me that there's a lot of issues around sex.
Yes.
How the culture sees it, how the church sees it, how we talk about it, how we tend to kind of have this almost like I have the answer for this, and my way is the way, you know, rather than hearing people and really understanding what can be done to alleviate some of these things.
Before we even talk about, you know, how to alleviate, you know, infidelity, you know, we should probably talk about why. What's the reason why we cheat? There are a lot of different discussions around that. And I think we could probably dissect that a little, because there are a lot of different reasons. I have heard men especially say they didn't really have a reason. And I'm like, okay.
No, there's always a reason. So,
that's right. So I'm like, but then why did you do it? If you didn't have a reason, was it just a feeling? Just something just came over you? I think there's always something underlining what should really happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we could probably talk about that. What are the real truths behind infidelity? What are some of the misconceptions that we have around infidelity? Why we think that that's the cause? And then, you know, we move to how do we fix it? What do we do?
You know, it's complex, because people say, and I could say from my background as a Christian who was raised in the church, all right, that it's, you need to trust God, pray and fast and pray, and make sure you read the word, and, you know, watch your eyes, what they see, and watch your ears, what they hear, and stay away, and all that good stuff, right? And I find that is absolutely true for me, but I believe that there are many people who doesn't ascribe to Christianity, they don't ascribe to the Bible, they are married to a spouse, and they are faithful. They decided to me, you know what, I will do to you what I would like for myself. And they didn't go and read it or study it or pray about it. They said to me, in all sincerity, let me be a honest person the best way I can be. So if I don't want you to cheat on me, then I should not do it. And it doesn't mean that they weren't tempted or felt the need maybe at some point, but they held their word became important to them, that are so important that, you know, that's my honor. So I should be able to, if I give you a ring and said from this day forward, I will commit to you, that is, stand by that. And that's honorable to me. Opposed to you have folks who claim a certain faith, and then you find that there's, I mean, I don't mean to knock it, but look at somebody, even in the Catholic Church, I mean, you know, a lot of what happened there, you know, it's supposed to be a safe place. It's supposed to be a place where, you know, where that's the last thing you want to think about.
Right, you're protected from those kinds of things, yes.
Same. And then look at it, and then and all the ministers who have had the names and the accolades, you know, when they fall from grace in that sense, look how much it has affected, you know, the entire idea of safe places to go, safe havens. I mean, thank God for the ones who are doing the right thing, the ones who are really, you know, standing forth. And we can't paint a broad brush now and say, well, everyone is, you know, is off because of the few. But the reality is that these are things that affects us, affects the entire body, you know?
That's so true.
Those are things I think about as well.
Mm-hmm. I was going through an article by, let's see who wrote this now, Anthony Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
The title say, the source, it comes from the article Emotional and Sexual Components of Extramarital Relations. And in that, it lists about nine facts versus myth about cheating and why people cheat, the reasons behind it. And one of them, the first one, says unhappy marriages lead to cheating. And I also heard that in the article that was read earlier, that's not necessarily the case.
Okay.
Because quite a few people, even though they have cheated, it's not necessarily because the marriage is unhappy.
Hmm. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. So a lot of times we think that, well, probably, you know, something is going on inside the marriage, so that's why they stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
But records have shown that that's not necessarily the case. Because Mr. Thompson here is saying that while unhappy marriages can be the cause of cheating, it's not one of the major causes, and especially not for men. So, as a man, what do you think?
Can you rephrase it, the last part of the question?
No, he's saying in the article that while there is some truth behind unhappy marriages being the cause of infidelity, it's not the major cause. So, and he's saying, especially for men, it's not necessarily because the marriage is unhappy or something is going on.
Okay.
So I'm saying, as a man, what do you think?
That's an interesting thing. I mean, you think about male and you think about the female. Now, the female has breaks where she has a time when she's more so ovulating and she's getting ready for, you know, to procreate, you know, ready for that whole cycle where, you know, as a man, we 24/7, all day, all night, every day, right? It's like a machine that is always in production, and this machine never stops. Lord help us, Jesus. But anyway, the point is that I think that you know, as a seed donor, so to speak, is a constant motion to plant seeds, I think, of course, with God's guidance, He allows us to have control, to have use the wisdom and so forth. But I think also, you know, you think about fertility, you think about the continuation of the human species. That's a major factor, and that's a huge part of biology. So we have in these paradigms like marriage and weight, you know, and these dates that we put on these things, it almost seems like it kind of impedes the flow of how things should kind of go in a way. So we have to kind of look at these things and kind of let it work. Maybe a spouse may want to work have a family after she has a career. And he's saying, after career, I want to have a kid now. You know, the body's saying now, but the career comes in there, and different things that we have, elements in life, kind of makes everything a little jaggedy. But the energy and the the feeling to want to procreate. That's the idea. It is that people stop it at sex. Sex, of course, is a tool that gives you the baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
So not having the luxury of just having babies, you know, we maximize at least that part of it. Mm-hmm. To what it is. But I think men are designed differently. We are built differently. It is said that men think about sex every, 6 seconds? I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's a lot. You know?
You tell me, I don't know.
So one, two, okay. But I would say this though. I would say this, that you know, if you look back in the time of the Bible, when Christ was when he dealt with the Israelites, many times he would see their heart condition. So they would do a lot of, you know, religious things and outwardly stuff to show that they were on the right track, but he saw their mm-hmm. heart. And the thing that I find interesting about church or even Christians is that there's so much that they would say or do outwardly, but right. if you could see their mind and their heart half the time, you know, mm. it would be a scary place to be, to visit, you know, it'd be a scary party, okay. you know, and I'm guilty of that. You know, I said, Lord, if you expose my mind in the screen right now in this church, I'll be a dead man. Lord Jesus, they would hang me to dry. I'll be the walking dead. But God is good. Hey, no one can see the mind except him. Isn't he great? He's awesome.
That's right.
And only he can fix the mind, you know, if we allow him to fix it. But yeah, it's interesting how it is. But I think, you know, we have the it almost like yin and yang. We have to have the balance. We can't have two people, male and female, going at the same way. We'll have probably too much babies. Maybe too much. Maybe people wouldn't work at all. There's all day long doing stuff, and that'll be too much. Yeah. So you got to have a balance. Mm-hmm. God knows what he was doing when he created the sexes and the difference and the drives and so forth.
Yeah, so well. So we have two questions here. Before we go into the questions, I want to say thank you guys for tuning in, all those who are joining us. Deja Vu, good night. Tomiki, I hope I pronounced that okay. I hope that's the right pronunciation. And he or she has this question. Have you been cheated on? So my answer is yes. I know what that feels like. And it's not a nice feeling. Fortunately, it hasn't been since I got married, so that's a good thing. But I was in a long-term relationship before and was cheated on, so it's not a nice feeling at all. And the question is also, is infidelity just sex, or can it be emotional cheat? Can it be an emotional cheat where you just attach yourself to somebody, no sex involved, or do we have to do the deed?
Well, you know something. I've had a question, and I've actually had to look at it very, very. I would say deeply, but you know, you think of emotional cheating, and mm-hmm. many people bypass that and say, "Well, you know, I didn't have anything physical, so
right.
I'm all exempt." But the thing is that if you found out that your spouse had an emotional cheating experience with somebody else,
yeah,
and then opposed to physical, would it make a difference for you? You see, because many people have gone to the counselor, husband and wife, have gone to a counselor and have talked about, you know, he cheated on me or she cheated on me physically. But they never talked about the emotional time when maybe she was at the job with the boss having a very warm, comfortable conversation that felt very comforting, very nice. Maybe they hugged a little too long. Maybe he had a moment when he went on a trip and he mm-hmm. was talking to the lady and the hotel lobby. And it was very, very comforting, and it was a very emotional mm-hmm. experience. I sat there too long talking to this lady, knowing that he mm-hmm. was married. So when is it make sense? Is it when you had a quick thought about somebody in that intimate moment and you kind of pass it out to your mind, or is it when you're lingering on it for a long time, or is it when, what is it? So, you know, it becomes almost complex in a way. Even though we tend to make it sound simple. So, I don't know, it's intriguing to me, you know?
I think it becomes, you know, emotional cheating when it becomes long-term. I mean, having a quick thought, I think mm-hmm. it becomes cheating when you act on it.
Okay.
So not necessarily with sex, just, you know, acting on the emotion and the feeling that you're having with the other person and the other person joining you. I think that that's when it becomes cheating. Because then both persons are engaged in whatever is going on. So, because I can have an emotional feeling towards you and you don't know, and you're not taking part in it, I wouldn't consider that cheating. Because I would think that both parties need to be aware of what's going on and participate in what's going on, whether it's physical or not. So, that's
well, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Christian and Sex, and we have a good time here, Lady Missy, and this is Keith, THT, the entrepreneur. And folks, you're now welcome mm-hmm. to call in. You can hear your voices, you can hear what you have to say. This is a show where you have a voice, and like I say, it's a conversation, it's not a condemnation here or a judging here. It's really just having a conversation. Mm-hmm. So feel free to call in and you can hear what you have to say.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a great, great, great topic. I know someone, I've known someone who really was really broken about her spouse cheating. And uh-huh. she really had everything going for her, as far as their finances was great, and you know, they put a pretty good mm-hmm. good structured life. I mean, they were both working, doing well. And all of a sudden the spouses decided to cheat. Now, should you give that up? Because many couples have thrown away the relationship because of the terrible. So should they give it up?
So was there a reason why?
There always is a reason why. But the fact that it happened, should one consider everything else and try to restore that? Or should they really just say, well, that cheating is for me? You know, it's a broken of my covenant, and it's like, you know, it's just so deep that mm-hmm. I even try to restore it. What do you feel about that the concept there?
Wow, I think it depends. I'm kind of torn where that is concerned, because I do believe in like a second chance, but once cheating has occurred, we know that trust is broken.
Ah.
Whether it's physical or emotional, trust is broken. And that is something that takes years to rebuild. Because that then I'm going to start second guessing everything that you say to me now. Are you where you say you are going to be? Is that really what you're going to do? All of that things. And then it builds insecurities. So it's hard. And a lot of times people who do give second chance, whether it's a male or a female, you know, there are instances where there's a second occurrence. How do you handle that? So it's kind of tricky for me. It depends on the partner that you have, how well you know the partner. Is the partner really, 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 you know, sorry? Because yes, I've known couples that, you know, have gone through that, and they have grown from it, and they are still together today. But will that happen for everybody? I think that you have to be willing, as both parties, you have to be willing to reconcile. Because I'm telling you, trust is something that is really hard to rebuild. So it's going to take a lot of work.
So folks out there, if you want to call in, you got to click on the phone icon if you want to call in. But the question I want to ask again, for those couples out there who might be listening, if your spouse was to mm-hmm. cheat on you, is it better for them to tell you about it? Or would you want them to tell you that they did or not? Would you rather not know?
I would want you to tell me. I would want to find out by a third party. So I would want you to tell me. But that's me.
Okay.
You know.
Got you. So in other words, if you had the option of not knowing at all or knowing, you prefer to know from the spouse. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want you to fess up.
Oh, fess up. I hear you. That's what I've heard that word. Fess up,
yeah.
Man. Like it is, you know? I heard a comment down here. I'm not sure if you can see it, Lady Missy. The name is Tamaki.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can. His wife cheated on him, and it still hurts. That's what he's saying.
Ooh, yeah. So it's interesting because most people think of cheating, they usually think of the males cheating. So, you know, I guess because this is pronouncing in our culture. Uh-huh. Many women, you know, and I guess for men it really hurts more. It seemed to hurt more anyway.
Right.
You know, it's like I would say hurt more, but I would say it seemed like they can't handle it. Women, what do you think? But I think women can handle it better.
That is something that, that is something that always amazes me, because there are men who will cheat on a dime.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you find out as a woman, you know, they expect you to forgive them, and they, you know, they crawl on hands and knees and do all that. But the minute they find out that their woman or wife or so is cheating, right? It's like the whole world has come to an end. A lot of women have lost their lives because of that. And I'm like, why? Then don't do it then if you can't handle it.
Yeah. Do you know, Lady Missy, some cultures, and sad to say, this part of the culture that I'm from, men tend to have this mentality that's pretty scary. You know, have a side piece or this or, you know, some other thing on the side, and it should be okay with the wife. And
exactly. You know,
unbelievable, and some men go as far as have kids outside the marriage and bring him home, you know, and expect the wife accept it. He's acceptable
to come with open arms.
Open arms. I'm saying that's amazing. You know, amazing how that is. But this whole idea of infidelity, it covers such a wide range. Then you have the men now who are getting older. All right, the men getting older, you know. They're now trying to figure out the prices, as they say, and, you know, I'm trying to see if I still got it, you know, and a younger woman is like, wow, you know, this is good. You know, it's a big deal for the that somebody young looking at me, and sometimes they lose it for that moment of just excitement, and you know, the fun of it, as it would say, and it ends up into such, you know, misery, such pain most of the time. Yeah.
So I don't know. It just always amazes me.
Yep. It really does.
Always.
It really does. You know, the idea of this segment here is there's an objective here, you know, and a big part of the objective is that as we talk about infidelity and so forth, and for those who might be listening on in, it is that where are you in your life? Are you at that point of? I think I'm having a call here. Let me just answer and see what this individual might be wanting to share with us. Listener, you're on the air.
How are you guys?
Yes.
Hi, good night. Good night.
Yeah, what's your question, sir?
We're good. Nice. We're good. Thank you for joining us.
Well, do you hear me? Like, can I talk? Like,
yes,
can you hear? Go ahead.
Okay. So you've been talking. My stomach. I'm a Polish guy, and you've been talking about cheating and stuff and issues with humans. And I have been in like. Really, really, kind of messed up a relationship, and
I was were you cheated on, or did you cheat? How did
I? I was cheated on. I was cheated on.
Okay.
Sorry to hear that.
It's not a big. It's just a thing. Like, it happens. But. In my opinion, one needs to remember that cheating is, well, how to explain, how to say it? It's like being dishonest to oneself.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is my opinion. This is what I think.
Okay. Well, thank you for your your call. By the way, where are you calling from?
Ireland. I'm Polish.
Oh, Polish. Okay.
I'm Polish, but I'm calling from. I live in Ireland, so I'm Polish.
Oh, you live in Ireland? Okay.
Yeah, but I live in Ireland. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the your input here, and like I said, you're right. Having to be cheated on is a very difficult thing. I can imagine. But I know it can't be very easy to have that trust broken. And so
absolutely sorry for butting in there, but absolutely broken.
How did you cope? What did you do? Did you go to counseling? Did you go to church and did you pray?
I was really, really pissed off. I was like. Why? Because I had been very faithful, very, you know, and then it turns out that your wife is sleeping with like your friends, basically. someone you can.
Wow.
I used to go for friends, like friends.
Yeah.
With capital. Yeah. And it was. Yes.
That should be very, very tough, and there are many people I believe, you know, can speak of that pain. But I see that you're here and you're sharing, and hopefully someone can even hear this and say, no, something, let me not even go there, because there are people right now who might be thinking about it, they might be on the verge, and this conversation they may say, you know what, let me not do this, you know, let me not cause pain in someone else. Let me stay committed, because a part of what we do here is not just to talk, is how we can have someone maybe rethink about their own lives, you know, and maybe rebuild their lives, and not to let hate, you know, because sometimes when you're hurt, you can carry that anger and that hate, and then you yourself don't get healing from that, and you almost make it compound the pain for yourself, which is not a good thing. So the thing that we also encourage is that if you're feeling hurt and pain,
well, I understand what you're yeah. saying. But once you are in this kind of situation, it hurts, man. Believe me, it hurts like it's the trust,
mm-hmm.
trust that you have had with a person you have been. Involved with it has like, well, I don't know how to describe it, like it hurts a lot. You can say like, it's a woman, well, I will meet another woman, but It's really hard. I don't know how to describe it. I haven't got a clue, really.
Yeah, understand.
Well, thank you. And your name? What's your name?
Thomas.
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 Okay.
Thomas. And you know, we are people who believe that no matter what you come through, what you face, there's a good in everything. There's something that's a lesson. There's something that can be positive in spite of everything. And you're right. Trust takes time to build, and I wish for you the best, my brother. You know, hang in there. You seem to be a good brother, and thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. Last question, or kind of question. How basically, what would be your advice? How do you recover from being absolutely in love with someone, and mm-hmm. your love, your trust was absolutely broken? It's like through of a window, like
could I ask the question, the person who did it, who cheated on you, are they remorseful about it? Are they repentant about it? Do they want to restore the relationship?
No.
Okay. No. All right. So.
Sorry for cutting in. Dagmara, her name was Dagmara. She was kind of love of my life. And.
Right.
Just. I don't know how to say it. Just, I don't know, cheated on me absolutely, and you can say, oh, well, I have this advice or that advice, but if you live with someone for like 20 years together,
wow,
that's tough.
One thing I can tell you, my brother, I can't tell you what to do, but I can encourage you what not to do. And one of the things I would encourage you is to stay with people who can encourage you. Stay with people who can uplift you. All right. If you find that when you're alone, you get depressed. You can look out for those things. So what you do, what you don't lose is very important as well. So, you know, that's something that I've never experienced that before. So I can't really advise you and what you ought to do. But I know that when something happened to us, as human beings, if we stay in certain posture, a certain mindset, we can exacerbate the situation and make it worse, or we can make our lives better. Because at the end of the day, I own my choices, I control my mind, I control my thoughts, and that's the power that I have within me. So whatever happened on the outside, I can't control that. What happened on the inside, I can control that. So that would be my encouragement to you. You are alive.
Sorry for butting in. Thank you very much for chatting to me. I don't know how am I going to live through this sort of thing.
Thomas?
20 years, yes?
May I ask, did this happen recently?
I'm 50 years old, so it happened like a few years ago. I was like mid-40s roughly.
Okay.
Well, now, I haven't heard a clue how you guys, you probably have wives or husbands and or partners, or you call it. But being cheated on, like my wife did on me, it's, believe me, you can give advices and everything and stuff, but it's beyond understanding, beyond, in my opinion,
Well, one of the things is that it's good that you're talking about it. That's one good thing.
It's not going to help you much.
It still hurts, yes. Have you ever thought about speaking to a professional, like a counselor or so, to help you through the process?
No, I believe that the stuff that goes on, it's like stuff that goes on. It's like you need to deal with problems, yourself, in my opinion. But I don't know your names, there's a guy, if you live with someone for like 20 years and you are committed and stuff, and then it turns out, excuse me, French. It turns out she fucks your friends, like your.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Don't mean to cut you. We're winding down in time, but you know what? I would encourage you this. I would encourage you to stay busy, all right? You need to stay busy. You can probably get some volunteering things and helping other people. That's one of the ways you can really get out of yourself. Because sometimes you stay there too long, you will get in a sinkhole of despair. So you want to get busy, get volunteer, help others, do things.
Sorry for interrupting. I used to go to gym, swimming pool stuff. Like I try to kill the memories.
Yes,
but it doesn't work.
You know what? You can leave an email. Maybe we can send some resources to you. Maybe some links, some places you can probably check out. So just you can send an email. You can go to uniradio@gmail.com. So UMERadio@gmail.com. Just send an email. Maybe we can probably get some resources out to you and some ideas of what you can do. But we got to wrap it up. We're winding down. Let's thank you for your call.
Okay, guys. Thanks for talking to you. It was a nice chat.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a little bit drunk, so don't get me wrong. I've been drinking since then. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. And folks, remember, folks, you can get the app. We have the app. You can get it on Google. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Play Store. You can get an app. And you can hear the entire.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I'm not going to bother you.
We got to run. We got to run because we're on time right now. We can't be on time.
So, okay. Thanks. See you guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
But now I don't know how to turn it off. Sorry, guys. I haven't got a clue how to turn this thing off.
Okay, folks, we thank you for joining us again. It's great, me and my co-host, Lady Misty. And again, guys, you can get us on the app, Yumi Radio app. And again, thank you for joining us here in Christian Specs. I look forward to see you next Monday. We are on every Monday at 8 o'clock. So
that's right.
And then we'll be rolling in with some new hot topics, all right? So thank you. And as they say, live, laugh, love. And don't forget that be grateful is the greatest thing you can do.
All right. Good night.
Good night, y'all.